This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled, Keeping the Faith, Logical Arguments for Existence of Others in the Book of Mormon Times, by Michael R. Ash. Read by Ned Scarsbrick. This and other articles by Michael Ash can be found at DeseretNews.com. This article was used by permission of the author and the Deseret News. As discussed last week, the Book of Mormon doesn't mention others for at least two reasons. One, the early material from the large plates, which may have mentioned others, was not included in our English translation. And two, the small plates were focused on the ethnogenesis and religious ministry of the Nephite people and would have been unconcerned with the others in such a narrative. Once the Lehites arrived in the New World, Nephi, like other people in most ancient societies, divided virtually all the inhabitants into two categories of them and us. Shortly after the Nephites and Lamanites separated, for example, Jacob, Nephite's brother, tells us that anyone who is not a Lamanite and those who are friendly to Nephi were called Nephites, Jacob chapter 1, verse 14. Whereas those who seek to destroy the people of Nephi were called Lamanites, verse 13. Jacob, like most people in ancient cultures, and even in modern cultures, made use of exonyms to refer to those outside his own group. An exonym is a name by which one group refers to a foreign group, a name not used by the foreign group themselves. For instance, people of the United States refer to one European group with the exonym Germans. The Germans, however, call themselves Deutsch. We also refer to the native people of the Americas as Native Americans or Indians, neither of which is applied from within their own groups. From a close reading of the Book of Mormon text, we find the Nephites and Lamanites were social-political names. The Book of Mormon writers were Nephites, and virtually everyone else is referred to with the exonym Lamanite. The term Lamanite will be discussed in greater detail in the near future. Also, as noted last week, there is no explicit statements in the Book of Mormon denoting the existence of others in the Nephite record. However, a number of implicit references logically suggest the existence of others. For example, when Nephi separated from Laman, Lemuel, and the sons of Ishmael over contentions, Nephi took his family, Zoram, Sam, and their families with him, as well as all those who would go with me, those who believed in the warnings and the revelations of God. 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 6. Who were those others who, in addition to those already mentioned, followed Nephi? It is at this point that we get the terms people of Nephi and the people who were now called Lamanites, 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 9 and 14. These terms were cultural designators for those who aligned themselves with Nephi or his contentious brothers. In Jacob chapter 7, verses 1 through 26, we read of Shurim's encounter with Jacob. Since Jacob was one of the original Lehites in the New World, the maximum adult population among the Lehites couldn't have been more than a dozen people. Yet Shurim had come from another settlement and had never met Jacob, the chief Nephite priest. Within 15 years, Joseph and Jacob were made priests and teachers over the land of Nephites' people. 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 26. We read that within 25 years of their New World arrival, the Nephites were at war with the Lamanites. What kind of war could possibly exist with a few adults that may have been around without the infusion of pre-existing cultures? 15 years later, some of the Nephite men began desiring many wives and concubines. Jacob chapter 1, verse 15. How many women could have been there if there were no others besides the original Lehite party? During Alma's visit to the city of Ammonihah, Amulek introduced himself by saying, "I am a Nephite." Alma chapter 8, verse 20. Considering that Ammonihah, a city in the land of Zarahemla, was under Nephite rule, it would seem obvious that Amulek was a Nephite unless there were non-Nephite people living in the land as well. About 200 B.C., corn, American maize, is mentioned as the grain of preference among the Lamanites, Mosiah chapter 7, verse 22, and chapter 9, verse 14. Corn, a uniquely American grain, could not have been brought from Lehi's world and could not have been discovered wild upon the arrival because of its complex cultivating techniques that will only reproduce new corn with human care. This strongly implies that others already were cultivating corn and taught the technique to the Book of Mormon peoples. Beginning about 500 years after the Lehites arrived, we read about thousands or even tens of thousands of warring soldiers. Such a rapid population growth could not have been possible without the presence of others. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes or by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of Fair Mormon.